Blog Talk Radio.
Live on Blog Talk Radio.
Live.
Candid Frank Live.
Live.
The National Lacrosse League Edition.
Live.
With Aaron William Freeland.
Live.
Gary Groob.
Live.
Sometimes Jared Harris. And
not
Frank Stanishi. Tonight.
Well, tonight we have ourselves a very interesting show. Holy moly, I'm telling you, we had so much fun. We were introduced to we weren't introduced to it. We've been drinking it the past, since the beginning of the season, actually. Had a chance to drink what I call a healthier beer, not made with pesticides and such things. And we spoke to the person most knowledgeable about that brand. And thanks to Jarrett Harris, I've been drinking it a few weeks now. Only at the Rock Games. You know, I forgot when I was there to ask if they actually sell it over the counter. And this is kind of our first commercial. And we're not getting nothing for it. It's just a commercial. But we really, really, really enjoyed ourselves at Joe Badali's. And, you know, as is the case after a Rock game, it is a very crowded venue. And it is the same when we go to the Argo games as well. And in fact, I might venture to say that the noise level is rather equal. Very difficult to do interviews. But never let it be said that Frank doesn't like making things difficult for himself, because that's what he likes to do. And so we did a whole bunch of interviews in there. And you know, before I knew it, this is how many interviews we did. 15 interviews. 15. The heck? I'm not drinking Mill Street no more. No, just kidding. I'm not blaming it on the beer. I'm blaming it on Aaron and Gary, who... Man, they are real foot soldiers, you know, lining up all these interviews for me and dragging me away from thinking that I'm picking up some woman to not realizing that I'm actually interviewing her in the middle of the interview. Frank, come here, I've got somebody else over here. And, I got to say, they did a great job. We also spoke to the commish. Yes, sir, we did. We spoke to the commish. And Gareth Billings, we spoke to him as well. And that speaks to the personality of the NLL and their players, their teams, coaches, and players. After all, there's no way you're going to interview a player who's been hurt, and especially one as key and important as Gareth is to the Rock, their leading scorer. In fact, for the last 3 years, thrice, he has led the team in scoring. And this year was no different. And I'm not sure. When we look over the stats, we're going to find out whether someone's going to be able to catch him on the Rock. But as he mentioned, there isn't a void in leadership. When it comes to the Rock, they will be able to survive this horrible break. No pun intended. So basically, it's an interesting year for the Rock. And more importantly, though, it's a very interesting year for the National Lacrosse League. Simply put, a whole different playoff format will be in place. We're at the point in the season where, the dancers, my friends, the dance cards are being filled out. And the last game the Rock played, they, signed in their number 3 position. They now are guaranteed of making the playoffs. And they will be playing in the semifinal in the East. They will be playing for the opportunity to take on the first place team in the Eastern Division of the National Lacrosse League. Now, I once again had an opportunity as Gary's guest to go to the game. And, all you have to do is to be a guest at a lacrosse game is invite the guy who has a spare ticket to be on the show with you. That's just a little hint I'm going to throw out there. Now, that doesn't mean every week, but, you know, Gary at some point says, Frank, come on over. And, you know, he knows. I got the show on Friday. So he gives me so much consideration, and I appreciate the consideration he gives and gives me the opportunity to go watch the game live. And it was a barn burner. And the new goaltender, Miller, proved to be an asset to The Rock. And it was a very interesting game. And as I said, we will. Commissioner Daniels, Gareth Billings, Katie McCory, Laurie Bercy, P. Campbell, M. Walker, S. Johnson, G. Smith, A. Lanquet. And Lanquet is the guy representing the Mill Street Brewery. And because of him, I had a beer for free. I didn't pay for it. This isn't regular media stuff. You know, you go to a regular media event. I remember when I used to go to cover the Jays. They had a spread there like you wouldn't believe. It's been a long time since I've seen anything like that. And so, you know, it was a wonderful experience. And as usual, rubbed elbows with the team, the players, the coaches. And in fact, down the road, I have his number, and we will be talking to the coach. But this week, as you could probably tell from this long dissertation, I have plenty of interviews today, and let's bring in the two guys who deserve all the credit for the interviews and for hooking us up with the interviews. First of all, let's go by seniority, Aaron William Freeland. Hey, Aaron, what does a W stand for? Wombat?
Stands for wicked. Because I'm awesome. No, it
wicked?
Stands for William. Wicked.
Wicked.
Yes, it stands
for
William.
I knew it. I was just, you know, I was just playing. Let's bring in our other buddy. Let's bring in number three, and as good as number two and number one, Gary Group. Gary, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Frank. How are you?
Oh, geez, I'm still getting over that night, man. Hey, I got somebody's card. I got Scotty Newland's card. Do you know who Scotty Newland is?
Scotty Newland's our anthem singer.
Yeah. So we're gonna have him on.
Sci-fi recording artist and active military member.
That's correct. That's
all
right.
He's done a lot of work for the Blue Jays, the Maple Leafs, and the Marlies.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to him one night. Right now, as I said, all these interviews we put together, guys, all of a sudden I had so many interviews. I don't know if I'm going to split them up. We'll see how many of them we can get on today. I have, you know what? Next week's a throwaway week, really. By that I mean, the pressure's off The Rock at this point. And so maybe we can split them up. But we'll see. We'll see how things go tonight. We will play the commissioner at halftime. He'll be our halftime show. And I'll have to remember at the one-hour mark to put him on the air because he's got a nice lengthy 8, 9, 10 minutes of an interview.
Now,
so
it's not exactly a throwaway week, Frank. Sorry. If The Rock do actually manage to win out, they could potentially have second place instead of third.
No,
but we can
really?
Get to that a little bit later. We can get to that a little bit
that
later.
That all depends on Friday's game, whether it's a throwaway week or not.
Yep.
You mean I might have some more interviews to do?
I won't be able to be at Friday's game.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Sadly, I am going to cover my other favorite sport, the CFL. We'll see. Yeah, it's too bad about that I got that Friday thing. I it is what it is anyway. And as I said, Gary, I truthfully thank you for the opportunity to accompany you and the better half at the game. It was a
Our
fun
pleasure.
Game. It was a fun game.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I just got my hearing back from your little megaphone.
Oh, come on. That megaphone?
You were
was
so
that loud,
Frank. I could hear you up in the media booth. You were so loud.
Yeah, we got you standing up in there, didn't we?
Yes, sir, you did.
You could hear me in the media booth?
Oh, yeah. I could totally hear you.
And that was without the megaphone, Frank.
No, that was with the megaphone.
I know. Believe me, we all know. All our ears are buzzing for a while.
Without the megaphone, the ground would break. No. Okay, so thank you. It was fun. And everybody in Joe's was killing themselves laughing because I put it on my hard hat. And then I took my hard hat off, and the commissioner and company all, and, you know, the guys from Mill Street, what'd you do with your hard hat? They thought it was funny with the cones and stuff. Now, I can't say why I put the cone on top of the hard hat, because if I say that, then it'll ruin my opportunity for bringing it in again. So it was all a clever ploy to bring it into ACC. All right, so basically it's been a very good week, and I guess we could jump right into the reason we're here, and that is to talk about the sport we love so much. And but first of all, I've made this sort of new routine with you guys starting last week. Tell me, Aaron, how your week has gone. Anything special? Hopefully nothing tragic. And my best wishes to the folks that had a rough week last week.
Oh, this week actually has been relatively nondescript, which I guess after the past couple of weeks is never a bad thing. Had a chance to catch up with a few folk at the game that I hadn't seen in a while. It was good to get back in touch with them and find out how they were doing. So that was a bonus. But other than that, no, it's been a relatively peaceful week. Plus, you know what? We got the game on Good Friday. So.
Yeah, it's on Good Friday. That in itself should bode well for a crowd, hopefully. Hopefully.
Well, fingers crossed that we don't have too many religious nuts. So
hopefully
we'll get a few people in there.
Well, we have our fair share of religiously, how shall I say, religiously competent people. So, you know, there's no need to talk bad about them, Aaron. They're good people.
No,
I'm one.
Fair enough.
I'm one.
I'll be coming right from a concert for church, right to the ACC. So if I can do it, everybody can do it.
There you go. And that good segue for Gary. So do you sing in the choir, Gary?
I do. I'm a paid lead there, so I have to be there.
There,
but I'll be there
go.
Thursday. I'll be there Friday. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. We get the most out of our buck there. But
yeah.
I'll be at the game as soon as I get out of that concert. Boom, right over to ACC.
What branch of Jesus are you with?
Oh, we're with the Anglican division.
You're with the Anglican division? Yeah, that
yes,
would be the
all the bells
Eastern
and whistles
division.
Have to gilt.
That would be the Eastern division. I come from the Catholic one. That's the Mid-Eastern division.
Well, they call us Catholic light. Like I say, all the bells
Catholic.
And whistles have to gilt.
I think Catholics are Catholic light. I'm just kidding. I love my religion. You know what? It is a great time to be a lacrosse fan, because now we're at the point in the season where the real jam starts to get mixed up. And Aaron started by mentioning that this week, the games this week are terribly important. There still is and still are implications into the standings. It ain't over yet for
anybody. And the West is quite a mess up there too, because Vancouver's still in it and Colorado's still looking to keep place for their third place finish. So that's a pretty big thing too. That Vancouver Philly game is going to be a big game, even though the people in Philly don't think so because they're out of the playoffs now.
I believe so, and it's too bad about Philly. We've developed a friendship with Philly. You ended up visiting there, and we both, all three of us, I think, have a lot of respect for the Philadelphia Wings. And unfortunately, good for the Rock, they won. Bad for Philly that the Rock won. But I got to tell you, Philly put up a good fight. But let's start with the first game of the week, and we begin with Aaron. April 11th. Sound good to you?
Believe so, and I think we're heading out to the Pepsi Center for that one, yeah?
Yeah, with the Edmonton Rush visiting Colorado.
That would be the game that everybody was waiting for.
I guess the only phrase to use at this point is nobody's perfect. Not anymore,
nope.
Anyway.
Nobody's perfect. So the Edmonton Rush found themselves on the wrong end of the score. Colorado jumped out to an early 4-1 lead. They potted the first three goals before Edmonton finally got on the board. Wonder of wonders, it was Zach Greer that got the goal for Edmonton. The Edmonton put up a good fight in the second quarter and managed to pull themselves a little bit closer, so that by the end they were looking at 6-5 going into the half. They remained tied at the end of the second half, at the end of the third quarter, and then finally Colorado managed to salt it away with a 2-1 run late in the fourth. So all in all, a really, really good, well-fought game. Even number on shots. I think the key difference that we're looking at here, and you'll probably agree with this one, with me on this one, Gary, was the power play. That's where they really got hurt. Adam Jones, who's been quiet since about the seventh week of the season, and John Grant Jr., with two, got three power play goals for the Colorado Mammoth. I think that might have made all the difference.
Yeah, that was huge, absolutely huge in that game. But it's funny because the week before, Colorado lost 12-11 to Edmonton, and we were all shaking our heads, unbelievable how they could hang with them. So this isn't that much of a surprise. And for a change, they finally showed that I'm not a liar, because I've been back in Colorado since the beginning of the year, and they didn't have any secondary scoring, and they were able to find enough of it this time around to actually beat the champs there.
The biggest thing that I can say about the game is what they did, and of course I'm referring to the Colorado Mammoth, what they did was get off to a quick start, and not only did they get off to a quick start, 6-2 for that matter, they ended strong as well. They really played Edmonton's game against Edmonton, get a lead, make some good saves, play some good defense, make them desperate, and catch them on the counterattack. And it worked like a dream for the Mammoth. Now, do you think, guys, that this will affect? How badly do you think? Can the Rush put this game away? Can they put it behind them? Do you think they will?
I think so, because the pressure's off them now. They don't have to worry about this 18-0 thing. They can just play lacrosse.
Aaron?
I think the Rush actually will be able to put it behind them relatively easily. No spoilers or anything like that for me, but I don't think losing to Colorado was that big of a deal. I think for a lot of them, it's a pressure valve. You know what? It's gone. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to worry about that. We've got first place locked. I think Edmonton will be just fine.
Yes, Edmonton will be fine if they don't let the confidence slip away. And this is where the coach is going to come in, because we know this team can play. Now the part of the, you know, I'm not saying it's easy to keep a team riding, you know, on a streak. But usually a loss is something that may or may not allow some bad habits to get in and ruin the timing. And there's nothing more important in lacrosse than timing. It is one of the quickest games. Well, it pretty much is the quickest game. It's faster than any other game, any other sport. I don't care, you know, in soccer, you can wait for the ball to come to you. You can run 5 yards this way, 5 yards that way, and then come back again to the ball. In hockey, you still have a little bit of that, you know, the puck, you know, travels okay, pretty fast sometimes, but you do have plenty of time to make the play. Football, even slower, you know, as far as watching the ball move, and now, you know, it's a matter, it moves at a closer rate as, you know, than the players. But in lacrosse, if you're not exactly where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there, it can really play. I mean, you guys comment. I mean, it's a much quicker game. You know, the timing is far more important in lacrosse probably than any other sport. Do you agree, or you want to comment? Start with Gary. Gary.
Well, I agree totally, because everything is tic-tac-toe passing. It's threading needles consistently, and being off by just a hair, the balls are in the corner and you're losing possession and things are going back the other way. So you have to be as accurate as possible, and things move. Again, you can't run anywhere near as quick as a pass. So
Aaron?
Things move rapidly.
Yeah, no, it's all a question of split-second timing. And again, like Gary just mentioned, you're never going to move as fast as someone can pass the ball. And that is really key. And a lot of this, you can see that really easily on some scoring plays when they're tic-tac-toeing and low-posting goalies right on the goal line, right on the edge of the crease like that. There's no way you can move to get over in time. So timing is hugely important. And if you lose that confidence and you start making sawdust out of your stick shaft, then there's a problem. You know, you start gripping the stick too tight and things can fall apart in a hurry.
And I guess the reason I bring that up, and when I say it's a very quick game, you literally don't have time to think. You almost have to move on instinct. And once you start thinking, it gets in the way of the instinct of the game. And it's a very instinctive game, lacrosse.
It definitely is, yeah.
So hopefully Edmonton can work things out and, you know, solidify their team again and recover from this loss. It happens to everybody. And I totally agree with both of you in as far as it's better to have lost today than down the road a piece.
Sure. But they don't get any easier this week either because they have the one that's breathing down their neck this week. And they have that big rivalry against Calgary. So let's see what happens there. That'd be another interesting game to watch this week.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to it. And so there you go. So it looks like Edmonton now has been brought back to the pack. As Gary mentioned, the Colorado Mammoth, they have a better team than they've shown this year. And finally, this past weekend, they actually made it happen. So good for them. And, you know, Colorado, full value for the victory. They did it in the way that it needed to be done. And it was done artistically with a lot of talent and with a lot of coaching acumen, because those guys were defensively extremely tight. And that's what you need to beat a team like Edmonton, because that's what they're going to throw at you. Our next game features a team from Toronto. At the ACC, they were visited by the Wings, and the score was 10-9. And gentlemen, Aaron, you first. Very indicative of the play, wasn't it?
I think so. This game was really tight, really well fought, really close. Not a lot of penalties. I know that Philadelphia needs to learn how to count. But other than that, I mean, you're looking at two penalties for Philadelphia in the first quarter, two penalties for Toronto in the second quarter, one penalty in the third, and no penalties in the fourth quarter at all. It's a very clean, very fast-moving game. One of the players that Philadelphia has been relying on more and more and more, I think, finally woke up, and that was Kevin Crowley. He had four goals and two assists in that game. He was their top scorer. The Rock got solid games out of Rob Hellier, who had three goals and five assists. Stephon LeBlanc had three goals and one assist. Casey Behrens had two goals and two assists. All in all, a well-rounded effort. The one thing I noticed, there didn't seem to be that third-quarter swoon from The Rock, which usually happens. They played solid all game. They stayed awake. Brandon Miller put in a great 60 minutes. He faced 57 shots on goal and turned them pretty much all away. Same with Evan Kirk down the far end. He faced 56 shots, turned away all but 10. So a really solid, really well-played game by two teams that are dependable and that I think are tend to be better than people think. So, you know, despite a bit of a slide from The Rock and despite Philly not doing as well as originally predicted, really well fought, really well played game, really entertaining.
Gary?
Goodness gracious, was that entertaining.
That was one heck of a game. Right down to the last second where Brandon Miller had to make a save just to keep it 10-9 because Philadelphia was all over that. This was the one where you're going to be at the edge of your seat. It was playoff time already. Both teams were playing for their playoff lives, you could tell. And we had some of the best lacrosse I've seen in a long time here in Toronto. It was a phenomenal game by both sides. Very well played. Not dirty. You'd expect a lot of chippy stuff. All that was put to the side. It was nice to see Casey Behrens back in the mix with two goals and two assists as well. But I have a feeling now, we see the way they're playing now with Miller and net, is the defense isn't playing back so much. They're actually challenging and making it difficult for offenses to set up. And in the last 2 weeks, they've given up 9 goals a game, and that's it. So I'm very, very enthused. And having Cam Woods back there has also been a huge, huge thing for leadership. Also, having a really big body back there doesn't hurt because we have a fairly small defense comparative.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the salesmanship by the coaches on tightening up the defense, I think the injury to Gareth Billings and playing that card in the guys' heads was a big plus.
Well, I think a lot of questions were answered also because we're getting offensive output from everywhere. Nick Dychenko in his first game, a goal and two assists. He looked terrific out there.
Our guest from last week.
Oh, yeah. Colin Doyle's back with four assists. Rob Hellier, he's definitely stepping up, and so is Stephon LeBlanc. and these are the guys we need to take it. When I was talking with coaches at the season ticket holder party on Sunday, it's simple. It's just more people are going to have touches, where everything has had to run through Garrett before because he's such a phenomenal player. Now you're going to see a lot more of these. We were talking about threading the needle passes. You're going to see an awful lot more of that, and that could be very interesting.
Keeping the other team guessing.
Well, that's it. They have nothing to go by on the offensive structure that we're going to throw at them now. So it's like they're playing us the first time.
Well, it worked out well, and they're full value for that victory. Any closing comments, guys? First, you, Gary, have you had a chance to comment completely on that game?
I have. It was terrific, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing what they're going to do against Buffalo this week and seeing if they can actually, you know, have enough momentum to get a home playoff game. That would be something a couple of weeks ago we wouldn't even dream of, and now this is in our conversations.
There you go. Aaron, you?
You know what? Like I said, phenomenal game. There was a Philly friend who came up, Matt Schwartz, came up with his girlfriend to see the game. He said, you know, I really only wanted to see a really good game, but the wrong team won. And at least for him, that's the way it turned out. I'm glad the Rock managed to clinch a playoff spot. That's wonderful news for them. It's a relief for the fans. And like Gary mentioned, the fact that we might actually be able to get a home game is wonderful news.
Perfect. Okay.
And for Matt, of course, you know, when I went to Philly, we lost by a goal. So fair is fair, son. Fair is
there
fair.
You go. There you go.
We're the Toronto Rock cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Ken and Frank Live Show. Hey,
get a show on. Come on, man. Stop playing.
That came out terrible. Don't ever do it in a bar again, Frank. All right, let's go to our next game. And well, hang on. Let's do one of the interviews. Hang on. I'll find it. I said we're going to do some interviews tonight, and let's get one in. Here we go. Let's see. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's start with the Mill Street beer guy.
Now, I came here, and I'm trying this new beer I've never had before. What's it called?
Mill Street Organic.
Yeah, it's like healthy.
I wouldn't go as far as healthy, but it does not contain any pesticide, herbicide, or any type of chemicals.
Well, then it is kind of healthier.
Healthier, yeah, I'll give that to you.
Healthy,
yeah.
Healthy, no. Well, I got a free beer, so this is me earning my free beer. I like to always earn my benefits, if you will. You've had a chance to be here a few times after a Rock game, and your association, when you make an association, you're really not sure what kind of association you're getting involved in. Has this been a nice surprise for you?
It's been a nice surprise, but really, like, I was not that surprised because I knew that, you know, the Rock following was very strong, and people were behind the team here in Toronto, and this is what I feel since the first game the home opener, right? This is what I feel. A big family, you know, following their team and supporting their team. So it's not that big of a surprise for me.
And you forgot the most important thing, Alex. Partying with after the game with their team.
Yeah, absolutely. Partying after the game, it's what this is all about, right? Good friends, good beer, and good fun.
Absolutely. And the nice thing is it's not just a pregame thing. It's a postgame as well. You find a nice location like Joe Badali's, which is a great restaurant, well known in Toronto, long history, and you're working in conjunction with a lot of businesses in Ontario. How do you like the way things are going?
Well, actually, things are going great, right? Badali's an institution in Toronto, great supporters of The Rock, great supporters of Mill Street, and you know, you come here, you meet great supporters of the team like the Roadies. And it's just all good fun, right? Like that, there's nothing else to be said. It's good fun with good friends.
I hope, Alex, we earned a T-shirt to give away on the show.
You just might. We'll talk about this off air.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Have a great one, my friend.
Well, it could end up being one of our first sponsor experiences, which would be nice, kind of, sort of, maybe. Okay, guys. So, well, I guess, Aaron, you drank the Mill Street stuff, right?
Yes, I do.
And Gary, you too?
I do.
What do you think of it?
I love it myself. It's a nice change. And
it tastes totally different than other
different?
Beer. It tastes totally different than other beer.
It does. It's not as heavy as everything else either.
There you go. All right. And that was for nothing, guys. That was a free promotion based on the truth. And speaking of the truth is Rochester Nighthawks defeated the Vancouver Stealth 10-7. And Gary, this game here, I don't think, I don't think it was any surprise.
No, no. I think Rochester's just priming themselves for the playoffs now. They're far and above most teams around. They did it again in this game. The Vancouver held rhythm. They were actually ahead at the half. But again, Rochester kicked that into another gear in the fourth quarter, pulled away and won the game. And, you know, they're getting it from everywhere. You know, Johnny Paulus had a big game. Cody Jameson, another big game. Corey Vitarelli had a good game. Dan Dawson added two goals and three assists. So they're getting it from all over the place, which is pretty hard to defend. But their defense is also stifling because they're holding Vancouver to just seven goals.
Aaron?
Yeah, I noticed, and this is really cool. I mean, Dawson had 5 points, Point had four. Cody Jameson, God, he had a monster game. He had 7 points. Johnny Paulus had six. The good thing is, though, Vancouver, I think, is finally finding some evenness in their scoring. Cliff Smith, Tyler Digby, Kyle Sorensen, Brett Bucktooth, and Lewis Ratcliffe all kicked in goals for the Stealth, which is a good thing for them because they were kind of confining it to a few players before. So interesting to see that Royt got the start this time around. Glad to see him get a little more action. He did unfortunately get the loss, but these things happen. All in all, it wasn't really all that surprising. I mean, you're taking on the league champions in their home turf. So not entirely a surprising result. I did like the fact that Rochester was scoring about a goal a minute in the fourth quarter. When you look at the final run they put on from 12-13 to the close, they were finding consistent ways to beat Royk and probably getting into his head too. So it's not necessarily a bad thing.
There you go.
Just a sidebar on that was the reason why Royk was starting was apparently Tyler Richards had an injury. So I haven't read anything on that, but hopefully he's healthy for this weekend.
And go ahead.
Matt's not a bad goalie. That's the thing. Matt's not a bad goalie. It's just a little easy to get him off his game. You know, you get under his skin, you get into his head, and you can ruin his night pretty quickly. But it looks like he managed to hold himself together pretty well for that game. And for a guy that hasn't seen a lot of floor time
right
this
meltdown,
season. Well, you didn't have any penalty minutes, so that's a good sign.
There you go. One of the nice things about going, one of the nice things about going to the Rock game, you get a chance to, we all like the cheer teams. And, you know, there are a few personalities when it comes to the cheer teams that are just adorable. And when I say adorable, I say that like a father. As I said to some before, my daughter, one of the Argo cheerleaders turns out to being a fellow student at my daughter's high school. So now I have a totally different perspective on the cheerleaders. And Katie McCrory is a perfect example of cute, energetic, and a person who's just infectious with making you smile. Wouldn't that be a fair statement, Gary?
Definitely. Katie has always been perky, fun, and she's as big a Rock fan as any of us.
Absolutely. Aaron, you had a chance to get to know her at all?
Katie's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady, and she'll make a wonderful wife. She's getting married in 5 months now, so that's very cool, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, here's a little chat we had with Katie at Joe's.
Katie McCrory is the captain of the cheer squad.
Yes, there is a lot of work in the sense that there's, you know, weekly practices. There's a lot of choreography we have to learn for each game. There's a lot of things during the game that we need to be aware of, sections, what times we're dancing at, where we need to be at certain points of the game. But it's not work in a sense that all the girls on the team love to dance, love to do this. So coming is more, this is just, it's fun. It is a job, but we love it. So, you know, we would put all the work in necessary anyways. I don't know. I always, as a kid, was moving and loved music and loved performing. So getting into dance as a young child, I just love being on the stage, love being able to interact with lots of different people, whether that's on the stage or, you know, at competitions or at games or at shows. And just the aspect of being somebody different or doing something different for those 3 minutes that you're on stage, or, you know, the 1 minute that you're on the field, and having little kids, you know, little girls coming up to you and, oh, we want to be like you when we grow up. And it's just, it all kind of ties into the whole aspect of why we love dancing. I would say yes. I love interacting with the fans and the audience and knowing that what we're doing is perceived as a positive thing and, you know, in the end might be able to help somebody or, you know, change somebody's dream or just help them accomplish something they want to. Of course, it's always nice to know that, you know, even if we're not doing so well in the game, people are there, they want to see you. When we come out, we can change the whole course of a game in that 45 seconds that we go out there. The fans get pumped up again. They love it. They start cheering. And then they remember why they came to the game in the first place, why they love the sport. And it kind of, you know, gives them a little boost to then cheer on the team. And in the end, we always end up coming out on top, right?
Wow. I wound her up and let her rip. By the way, I edited myself out of there a lot. I wanted to hear her talk, and it is really nice. These are wonderful ladies that are at that are the cheer team, and they get a pretty, well, I don't want to say bad press, because the press doesn't really talk about them, but they do live in a world that does draw a little bit of unfair commentary. So I just wanted to make a point to those of you that are listening to the program. These cheer teams are actually there because they love to dance and they love to be part of the sport. We seem to sometimes think otherwise, but I promise you that's what they're there for. And they're so much fun, and they are infectious as far as bringing smiles to our faces and keeping us up when the team is down and helping push us higher when the team is doing well. Right, gentlemen?
Yeah, they're phenomenal. And, you know, they had an experiment a couple of years ago of getting rid of the cheer team, and there was something definitely missing with the in-game presentation. It just wasn't the same. It was sorely missed, and that's why they were brought back. And, you know, Katie's gold, and so are a bunch of the other girls. And if you ever have the opportunity to talk with some of the other ones, they're just tremendous people, and it's wonderful to have them around.
Absolutely. They're very athletic. And they're drawn to athletic, you know, athletic things like sports, like hockey, football, baseball, etc. So yeah, it's as much about the sport as it is about, you know, some people think it's all about PR, it's all about publicity, but that isn't totally true. And of course, in lacrosse, just like the players, these gals are just as accessible as the players, and they're very very nice and very sociable, and they're very kind and patient with you. And I want to say thank you to Katie for taking the time to talk to me about the game and what she does. All right, the next game we'll be talking about, of course, are the Minnesota Swarm and the Buffalo Bandits. Now, here's another one of those games that, you know, the team that you expect to win does not. We've been talking about Minnesota all year being a better team than they've shown, right?
Yes, we have.
This was one of those games where when I heard the result, I couldn't stop grinning. I hate to
admit it. Yeah, we were together when we heard the result.
Yeah, I don't wish evil on anybody.
We were all together.
I don't wish evil on anybody, but man, watching Minnesota top out Buffalo 10-9 the way that they did, beautiful. And something that sort of plays back into this, Buffalo, unfortunately, I think suffered some cranial brain cramps. Specifically right at the end of the third quarter, Ryan Benesch got two for throwing the stick.
You know, it's funny. It's funny, Aaron. At the beginning of the year, your biggest concern for them was penalties.
Yep.
And they went through the majority of the season not showing that side of their game and controlling their emotions and you know, being able to do their jobs without forcing themselves to take penalties. Recently, though, they've been if I'm a Buffalo fan, I got to be concerned at this terrible turn of events where the team now is starting to be undisciplined, and it's got to be a concern. And even though you know the Rock are supported on this show by you two and me as well, I'm trying to be a little more understanding of the Buffalo fans and be a little more neutral. If I'm a Buffalo fan, I'm hoping this team figures it out, because I'd be concerned that the team's playing as inconsistently as they are, especially at this time of year. This is when you don't want it to happen. Now,
Go
ahead.
Sorry, go ahead, Frank.
No. I was just going to say, the question is it Minnesota playing better or are the Bandits playing worse? Because on the other hand, on the flip side, Minnesota's been playing better.
Minnesota's actually been playing a heck of a lot better. They actually took more penalties than Buffalo did. They actually took more penalties but scored more power play goals. And I think, again, that's a place where power play goals, because they seem to make more of a difference. I mean, Buffalo was undisciplined. You know, the holding penalty, too many men penalty, another holding penalty. Another holding penalty and throwing the stick. I mean, these are all because you're not moving your feet.
As bad as a holding penalty is, those other penalties are unforgivable. Those are the ones that you could see the coach's hair turning gray on the spot.
If I pulled something like that and I was playing on that team, my ass would be nailed to the bench. I wouldn't see another minute of floor time after getting a dumbass penalty like that. And you can see it reflected, too. I follow Buffalo Buffalo fans on Facebook and on their Twitter feeds, and a lot of the comments that I'm seeing are like, what the hell are you guys doing? This isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's very, very indicative of a high level of frustration. For some reason, they just can't seem to get it working again. And they're sitting at 8-7 now, so they've got three games in hand. They got one game in hand over Toronto. They've got three games left, one game in hand. Toronto's sitting at 7-9 right now. Depending on how well this game goes on Friday, the Rock could find themselves sitting at 8-9 and Buffalo at 8-8. And Buffalo's last two games of the season are a home-and-home series on alternate weekends with the Rochester Nighthawks.
But the quicker the Bandits sink, the less of a concern they become for Rochester. And it is Buffalo's the team this year. When we started this show and at early season, the Bandits were the team to beat them. In our minds, they were the team that they were playing incredibly well, because, and let's be honest, we didn't really see Edmonton going on the tear that they did that ended this week. And we were more, I was anyway, I shouldn't speak for you guys. You guys can speak for yourselves. I was very surprised at how Buffalo came out of the gate, but they didn't come out of the gate with only luck. It was discipline and they were winning games. They were showing every facet of the game was their strength. And primarily, you know, their discipline was the main thing. And it was a big surprise. I wonder if it's caught up to them and they've, you know, lost their mojo.
Well, I think a lot of it accordingly had the same thing here, where the team last year came out flying. They had the best record in the league, but down the stretch, they sputtered, and then come playoffs, they got killed. What's happening here, I think, is you have a lot of veterans in there. It's a long season, a lot of things have gone on, injuries.
Two men short. Two men
and
short.
And they're steps slower than teams like Minnesota, where they have to start dragging and holding and things like that. They don't have much of a choice. And if they do, guys like Logan Schuss are going to make them pay. And that's what happened in this game. But, you know, as for undisciplined, Buffalo's had a habit of that for a number of years. And once they start getting behind, they start forgetting where their systems are. And they do an awful lot of relying on Cosmo. And, again, Cosmo had 54 shots on net. So the defense isn't stopping much. So
and they better start because you don't want to wear him out before the playoffs come.
Well, he's seen a ton of rubber this year. And it's every single game. And he's been standing on his head. And you can't fault him for any of this stuff. He only gave up 10 goals. So, you know, I'd be very happy with 10 goals on 54 shots.
Yes.
But the offense, ever since the Edmonton game, they were rolling. And then the Edmonton game came, and they got beaten so badly by Edmonton that that got into their heads, I think.
You're probably right.
And ever since then, their offense has sputtered. Guys who are normally putting a lot of points up, Stainhouse, you know, he's usually good for 4 or 5 points a game. At least he had one goal, and that's it. Benesh was only 3 points, and he's their playmaker. Jamie Rooney, who's been, you know, half the time benched, came in and had 3 points. Dane Smith, 3 points. Nobody on their list of players had above 3 points in this game. So, again, they're kind of wandering around without much of a focus. And as long as they're like that, they're prime. They, remember, they were 8-2, and now they're 8-7. So, you know, this is a whirlwind that something's gone into their head. And if they don't fix it soon, they're going to be coming here to Toronto for a playoff game.
Now, I missed seeing an injury report, Gary. I don't know if you saw anything about this, but Tavares didn't look like he was in last night's game, or last week's game. It looks like he wasn't in the lineup at all.
Nope, he's not on the list at all. So
yeah.
I don't know if they're just sitting him out at 1 week trying to save his already, you know, he's had an awful lot of leg problems, trying to save that a bit for the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Because if you remember a couple of years ago, when's the worst time he took the calf injury? Was the playoff game against Toronto, and that pretty much, I would say, would be the deciding factor.
Yep.
Well, like you said, the players are older, and if they're older, you know, towards the end of the season, spelling them might be a requirement. And doing that, though, they'd be giving up second place. They really do need all hands on deck to ensure that they finish ahead of Toronto so that they get the home floor advantage. And, you know, my heart goes out to the Buffalo fans who really are probably getting frustrated because the team is tumbling. And I'm sure the last thing they want to do is see them tumble beyond Toronto and then have to come here for a home game in a season where they thought they'd be sitting on the sidelines waiting to see Rochester and whomever they were going to meet decide who was going to go to Buffalo. So all best wishes to the Buffalo fans.
Buffalo also took one more injury as Billy D. Smith, is from what I've read, is out for the season. So, you know, not a big score. Someone takes, you know, mindless penalties at times, but he's a big body, and he will clear that net out. And I think they're missing it just by taking a look at the shots on goals.
All right, let's move on to the next game. But first, we'll take a short break, and we'll talk to Lori Bursey, someone that we know well on Candid Frank Live, the football show. She also is a big Rock fan, and I had a chance to catch up to her at where else?
Well, here we are at Joe Badali's, and oh my goodness, look who that is. It looks like, yeah, it is. It's Lori. Lori, how's it going?
Hey, Frank, how are you?
Good, good, good. What a great night tonight.
You know, it was fantastic. We've had a very up and down season to date, and the fact that we made the playoffs tonight, people are ecstatic. It's going to be fabulous because, as they say, once the playoffs start, it's a whole new season. The last couple of years, we've ridden the whole season and been in first place and, you know, just been spectacular. And then the playoffs hit and whatever, we lost and got kicked. So, you know, I'm really quite optimistic about this season because we can come in through the back door and anything can happen.
Nowhere but up.
Yes, absolutely.
And, you know, I was very impressed with Miller's goaltending tonight.
Oh, you know what? I was saying to my friends tonight, who knows where we would have been had we had Miller right from the beginning of the season. But, you know, things happen for a reason. So, you know, he's fresh. We have a new lease on the season, and anything can happen.
It totally can. But in fairness to Rose, I think the defense was – I think the defense – ended up developing a conscience because Rose was taken out of the net.
Well,
I think that made it easier for Miller. And
sure.
Not that Miller didn't play well, but I just want to say that Rose didn't really play that bad.
Well, you know, there's no team is one man. And so, yes, I understand. And the defense had to stand up for him. But, you know, let's face it, like baseball, you know, the pitcher is most important, the quarterback's most important in football, and the goalie is most important in lacrosse. And so, you know, while I agree with you, Frank, you really need a strong goaltender in this game.
The one thing that Miller did this year in this first game, if he continues to do this, is those saves at crucial times in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he just made some spectacular saves tonight. And, you know, even from the first game that he played. So, you know, it keeps us all so optimistic knowing that you have a solid, solid goaltender in there.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, Lori. Okay, so now we have the Edmonton Rush with, you know, that big old zero gun play against Calgary. And they came up with a victory, 15-11. Gary?
Yeah, it was astounding because when we were at Bedalli's, I actually put this game on my phone, and we were there when Calgary made a little run and tied it up 11-11. And we started thinking, would this be another game like a couple of nights previous? And Edmonton put another gear on, shows what kind of a team they are. And by the time it was all said and done, they won 15-11. So obviously it didn't shake them too much losing in Calgary. Curtis Knight had a big night with 8 points, 5 goals, 3 assists. Robert Church, another big night with 6 points. Mark Matthews, again, another big night. Conway with 7 assists. So they're getting it from all over the place. But, you know, they're using their shots to their advantage because they're not taking a lot of shots. I think Poulin only had 45 shots on net. So, you know, they made the most of all their opportunities. Calgary, on the other hand, guys who we expect to really, really step up, guys like Jeff Snyder, he had no points in this thing. And even loose balls, he only had 9 loose balls. So, you know, Sean Evans only had 4 points. Scott Ranger only 4 points. Dane Doby. These are guys who are expecting to carry the load. Jeff Shadler had 4 goals. But, you know, these are the guys who are going to have to really, really step it up if they want to get by Edmonton.
Absolutely. Aaron?
You know, but just it was a great game to see. It really was. It was hard fought. But it just goes to show Edmonton just got right back on the horse. You know, after losing the donut, they just got right back on the horse again and just kept right on going like nothing had happened and just steamrolled them. I mean, if you look at the fourth quarter summary, pretty much all Edmonton. You know, Calgary's last goal was at 7:36, and after that, 4 straight Edmonton goals.
Which is what happened to them in the game they lost. And it's the way they play. They they live off the counterattack, don't they?
They definitely do. And if you don't put it in the net, they're going to be coming back down the floor at you.
And they held Calgary to just about no shots. They had 41 shots on the night on both, and that was it. And you know you're not going to beat them like that. They just stifled Calgary's offense.
But I think shot selection was also hugely important in the fourth, though, because they only took 9 goals. They only took 9 shots, sorry, in the fourth quarter and scored 4 goals.
Yeah, and that goal to shot ratio is an empirical. You know, I know it's an empirical number, but still, it tells a story, doesn't it? It tells a story of a team and how their offense is working, and it just seems like Edmonton. You know, that blip, it turns out that that's going to be a blip in the season maybe. And I think they've, especially doing it to Calgary. I mean, after that loss, that was Calgary's opportunity to send a message. And instead, I think they got a big message back from Edmonton after that loss.
Yeah, that message was nope.
Ain't going to happen, buddy. Well, listen, two great teams. They're going to meet probably in the Western Final, and both of them in Alberta. And I'll tell you something. When it comes to Edmonton and Calgary, baby, it's a rivalry. You've heard of a rivalry. Well, that's what they've got going on right now. Edmonton Rush, Calgary will, the Roughnecks will, in the playoffs, they will meet. And you know what? There may be a surprise, but if these two teams meet, man, it'd be nice to be in that stadia.
Oh, God, yeah, whatever. They had over 15,000 people there.
Oh, it'll be wild, man. It'll be wild. It'll be awesome. Great for the National Lacrosse League. Very happy to hear that kind of thing. And it thrills me just to think about it. I know somebody else that it'd thrill. A fellow named George Daniels, the commissioner of the National Lacrosse League. We had a chance to bump into him thanks to Aaron and Gary, and had a chance to talk to him about the National Lacrosse League and how things are going this year. And, you know, we did touch on a few things that some might suggest may be a little bit touchy.
Okay, I'm with the commissioner of the National Lacrosse League, George Daniels. George, you've got some really good stories going on in the league right now.
Well, yeah, it's been a great season so far. Very exciting. I think the fans have really found the new playoff format real receptive. I know the players like it. It's put a lot more teeth into the regular season. We had a great game here tonight with Philadelphia and Toronto. It was really a quasi-playoff game for all intents and purposes, thrilling game. So it's been a really great season.
You know, from a rock perspective of which we follow, last year the team goes into the playoffs, basically ran the league, ran the table, and then went in the playoffs, lost the first game. It must be good to know that your league is willing to make changes because it's fairer to the teams. It must, you know, I'm not saying that as a rock fan that it was bad that they lost. I think it was not good the way they lost.
Well, you know, there's no question that you see in sports these days, as you expand playoffs, you're seeing more and more, not just in the NHL, you see the NFL.
Everywhere.
You see teams with in the NFL, a 9-7 record, going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and there's great things about that. But it seems to be maybe having a little too commonplace.
Yes.
And so the consensus from our end, and there's good and bad with both systems, and you think, you know, look, we've got a lot of thrilling endings right to the last week of the season, a lot of great playoff chases. There are a lot of great things about the old system. But I think the consensus was really let's try to put more meaning back into the regular season. Not just from a competitive standpoint, because
the
teams deserve it.
That's the truth.
But also from a standpoint that will filter down for the fans, for the players, and that they understand that, you know, every game is meaningful and making sure that. We always felt that way, but if we were under the old playoff format, tonight, for example, would have been really not that much of a meaningful game.
Exactly.
Now, maybe 2 weeks from now, the games would have been more meaningful. But, you know, so it really creates more meaning up front, and so it really accelerates the process, and I think it really gives us a lot of great lacrosse all season long.
Well, on the program, on the show, we're unanimous in believing that this was a brilliant move. You know, and that, I think, is what's important. We're fans, and, you know, we pay our way into the stadium. We understand what it's like to expect something when we show up. And it's nice that you guys realize that the league understood you as its leadership. And I'm sure you didn't do it in a vacuum. I'm sure there are other people that you trust whose opinion means a lot to you. It's fantastic when a league is receptive to what maybe is important to the fans without even the fans complaining about it.
Well, there's no question. I mean, look, we recognized through a number of issues, we had an 18 format for several years when, unfortunately, the league was a little larger. And for a number of reasons, we just wanted to maintain it for a while. It wasn't like as if we did, when we went to an 18 format, we had 9 teams in the league. So that was part of the process, and it took some time to decide whether we wanted to move off of that or not. And, you know, so it was that, and really just, that we all felt that as we went through it year after year, that there were issues with it, and it really came down to the fact of finally deciding that going to 6 teams was probably the better route. And, you know, again, we always look at everything. We always look at everything. We look at everything we do. We're always willing to not only listen to the fans, listen to the players, listen to our coaches. We have a very open-minded board, and they're always willing to look and see how we can improve the game. You know, it's a great game. It's a game with great rich tradition and heritage, but there's nothing within our rules and policies that's so sacred that we can't tweak to make it more fan-friendly, more, you know, more competitive. We're always looking to make the game a little better, to tweak it. And so, and to that end, I think, you know, our board is very good and open-minded and progressive in that realm.
And that progression is important because at the end of the day, the most important factor that you guys look at are the fans. And one thing's for sure, while the fan base may not be humongous, it's dedicated. And you're reciprocating that dedication with changing, not being fearful to change the game in a way that's more conducive to making the fan interest even growing larger. Because I agree 100% with you, is that when you have a playoff and you have a team that's not necessarily dominated everywhere, like Edmonton is doing this year, what a story. I mean, but it'd be a shame to see Edmonton lose in one game. And that's what the beauty is in what your change is. For those of us that watch the game, we see how commonsensical it is.
You know, there's certainly no question that when you go to a series, you have more opportunity. And the two-game series is unique. But, you know, no one can say now it's one bad game. You're really going to have to play, you know, one bad game and then maybe a 10-minute mini game. But you can't get knocked out in one game anymore. So to that end, at least with respect to the division champion,
absolutely.
First round still single elimination. But we think we're in the right place right now. For us, for where the league is and its development, we think this is a good format. We'll evaluate it at the offseason. But let's see how it plays out and see where it goes.
You know, you have to be happy as well with the teams that have moved forward to play really well. There have been some wonderful surprises this year. I mentioned Edmonton. That has to be a great surprise for you guys. And how, my goodness, how consistent that team is. It must feel really good to have a team that's basically surprising everyone.
Well, I think they're surprised to the extent of how you're always surprised somebody goes 14-0. I mean, I don't think anyone can predict that. The fact that they're good, I don't think it's a surprise. I think they were very close to having the top overall seed last year. 2 years ago, they had that late run to make it into the finals. They're a very good team, very talented team. And I think going into the season, I think anyone would have probably saw that they're one of the two or three favorites probably to win the whole thing. But you can't expect 14-0. That's just exemplary. No one's ever started a season 14-0. As I said last night, I don't think I'll ever see it again.
I think it's wonderful.
It's great, and it's a franchise that had a lot of losing for the first 5 or 6 years of its existence. And they've had some success now the last 4 or 5 years, and that's good. That's what we want. You know, we want a competitive league. I really feel that, you know, this year has been somewhat of an anomaly with the 14-0 start and the records that we've seen from some of the teams. For the most part, over the last few years, we've seen some, you know, very competitive, all the teams within 3 or 4 games of each other. Last year, the team with the most wins was Toronto with 10 and Buffalo at 6. So, a little bit different this year. But, you know, these things go in cycles. And the good thing about our league is you look at a team like Minnesota right now, maybe as not having a great year, I guess 4 wins right now or whatever. But I don't think anybody would be surprised with all the talent on that roster that they could, you know, easily be sitting at 11, 12, 13 wins next year. And that's the thing about the NLL. There isn't any team that you can look at right now that may finish out of the playoffs and say and write them off next year. And that's what's great about the league.
Not next year. This year maybe, but not next year. You got a couple of teams that are building through the draft, and they've decided that they're going to go through the draft, and you're very fortunate that you have the ability to build through the draft. My last and final question is that tomorrow, what's on the agenda for tomorrow? What can we look forward to?
Well, we just want to continue to grow the league. We want to, we would like to get a little more traction on television. That's important for us. That's a priority. We're having a lot of positive discussions. You know, currently this year we've got, eight games on TSN. In the States, we had seven games on Universal Sports Network. We want to continue to grow those, have dialogues with them and other networks as well and see what's out there for us and try to increase that. Expansion is a priority now that we have the CBA behind us. I'm not anticipating any expansion for next season, but as we go forward, we're having a lot of great discussions for 2016 with really some high-level, high-quality people. So the future is really bright for the league. And, right now, just really focused on the playoffs and looking forward to a great finish.
Well, George, I'll be watching.
The question is, will I be listening? Will Aaron be listening? Will Gary be listening?
We'll be listening.
You can't get rid of us that easily.
Not that easily. Okay, boys, let's go look at the standings. And, as I said earlier in the year, the Bandits were on top. And now if one were to use, to see right now, the Rochester Nighthawks at 12-4, four wins ahead of Buffalo. That's quite a string that Rochester put together with the assistance of, quite frankly, the Buffalo Bandits' ineptitude.
Well, Toronto helped that along, too, with a couple of kind of losses. So,
well, Toronto is, you guys mentioned that they're within reach of Buffalo. They are just but one slim victory away from tying Buffalo. And that almighty tiebreaker, who holds it?
Buffalo, unfortunately, does.
Who holds the tiebreaker?
Okay. So add a half to the wins that Buffalo has from now on.
Basically,
so in other words,
essentially.
So Buffalo has basically 8.5 wins, while Toronto only has 7. So another win by Toronto is not enough. They need 2 wins.
And Toronto has to win out and Buffalo has to lose out. It's that simple.
That simple. So the next win by Buffalo guarantees them. Next win by Buffalo or lost by Toronto guarantees Buffalo 2nd place and home floor advantage against the Toronto Rock. Which, if you're Buffalo, right now, you're not playing well anywhere.
I'm not so sure I'd want that.
Well, Toronto's also played very well in Buffalo over the years, so that's not an intimidating thing either.
Now, both of the games that Toronto's actually lost to Buffalo this year were by identical scores of 12-10, and both of those were with Nick Rose in goal. So,
and Toronto,
a brand new goalie.
I believe that first one, the 12-10 loss, the first one, they were up 4-0, and then all of a sudden they just kind of reeled in the gates and mailed in the second half, and even with all that, they still only lost 12-10. So
where we end up now is we know that Buffalo is not going to catch Rochester.
No, it's a technical impossibility.
Exactly. And neither will Toronto. Again, the same impossibility. So it's all about Toronto meeting Buffalo. They both know they're playing each other in the game to determine who will be playing Rochester in the Eastern Final. Fair?
Yep,
fair enough. The real question is, where is the game going to be played now? That's the one thing left to be determined.
I think even less important, that is, than how will they play each other.
I think you're going to see a little precursor of that come Friday. I think
team's
going to try and get a step up on one another, so I think you'll get a pretty good sense of how that game's going to go pretty quickly.
And this is their opportunity to get in each other's heads. And that's something you want as an advantage when you go into the playoffs.
Exactly.
With a one game, with a one and out.
Exactly. And there's a lot riding on it. A lot of players have been on both sides. So it's going to be a very interesting game. And it's going to be an interesting playoff game, too.
Totally interesting. So it's a pretty easy cut-and-dried situation in the East, whereas in the West, not so cut and dried? Or is it?
Well, as it currently stands, Edmonton and Calgary are definitely in. Mathematically, there's no way Colorado can pass Calgary for second place. So there's that. Also, Vancouver, currently sitting at 4-11, does have the chance to go 7-11. And Colorado could very easily go 7-11. So the question then comes down to who's got the tiebreaker there. And I believe it's Colorado.
I think it's a pretty safe bet, Aaron, that Colorado's going to be playing Calgary. Much like Toronto and Buffalo know they're up against each other, I think these two teams are scouting each other to death.
No, I think on that one. I think, though, if I worked for AIG or AGF, I would probably put my money on Vancouver. Just because it's a longer shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, mind you, both teams have started playing better near the end of the season now. Obviously, Colorado, let's see how they can ride an Edmonton victory. Was that their championship game? Or are they going to ride that as a wave and try and... finish strong to the end of the year in the playoffs and maybe give Calgary a shot?
I believe they will give Calgary a shot.
Yeah. But
I also believe that Calgary's for real.
Well, we've seen it firsthand.
Most definitely. Now, Calgary's
firsthand how good
it is. Definitely for real. Sorry about that. I keep talking over you, Gary. I'm going to shut up now.
No, okay. Okay. Gary loves being talked over.
I'm used to it. I had Frank beside me all through the game.
There you go. I talked right into his ear.
With a megaphone.
With a megaphone. A 6-inch megaphone.
That carried 60 feet.
Okay. I thought it carried further than that because it was getting up to the gondola. You know what? I think it's fair to say, guys, I'm looking at this and I'm going, Toronto Rock and Bandit fans are as excited as Calgary and Colorado fans, because I happen to think that those two games, it's a pick 'em, which game will be better, because I happen to think that all four of those teams, well, at least two in each division, are so equal, it's scary. It really is scary. Even though Colorado has not won so many games, I think Colorado has proved in the late going that they're a very tough team to beat. And I guess beating Edmonton is, how much proof do you want? You know, and the two semifinals are going to be awesome. But, you know, the season's not over yet. And more evidence and or, you know, belief in that can be created by those teams in the next and final games of the season.
I mean, all you have to do is look at the team that Colorado has to know that they're deep on playoff experience. Nick Carlson, John Gallant, Sean Pollock, Chet Konechny, Ethan Iannucci, John Grant Jr., all these guys have a wealth of experience in the postseason.
Okay, that wasn't me.
Sorry, that
wasn't
me
either.
Okay, it was Gary.
Adding the fact that they've got Gill and Stroop and Coyle behind the bench, you know, that's another... There's another three guys that have seen a lot of playoff time. So these guys know what they're getting into. These guys know what they need to do in the playoffs. So the fact that they're going to be playing Calgary is just going to make it that much more interesting.
Yeah, they'll get it.
Calgary's not short in experience either. You know, I mean, they've got some guys that have been there before, but I just don't think they're as deep playoff experience wise as the Mammoth are, and that could be telling.
Gary?
No, I agree. I agree. But I think Calgary's just a juggernaut. I think it's funny because they can get off track so easily, and they've also been another team that's been notorious for taking dumb penalties along the way. Some of them have been smarter penalties to try and get themselves back on track, but a lot of the times they're taking dumb penalties. And if they do that in the playoffs, that could spell a real early end.
Okay. That wraps up our standings, and we'll get into... the games this week, NLL fans, boy, oh, boy, it's getting interesting. It's getting to the time of year we just love so much. Yeah. The pre-playoff games, let me tell you, these games mean a lot. Whether your team's in the playoffs or not, This is when your team gets to show what it can do. And trust me when I say this, in or not, these games mean a lot. But first, we'll take a short break by going to an interview with Pat Campbell of the Toronto Rock, another one of our interviews. And let's talk turnaround.
To be honest, it'll sound silly after the fact, but the way the season's gone has been by design. You know, every other year we've run the table during the season and blown our brains out, and like you say, our stinkers seem to be the playoff games. So this year, so many good things are happening out there on the floor. Players are finding other guys that, you know, they haven't otherwise found on the floor before, you know. And I know losing Garrett hurts, but I think there's still a level of chemistry in the room that we've never had before now. And I think moving into playoffs in this, the way we're peaking right now, couldn't be better. That's our philosophy. I mean, Garrett, you know, maybe had 12, 15 shots a game. Now our other guys have got to take those shots, and we got to have confidence in their sticks. And, you know, you can't tell me a guy like Colin Doyle, Josh Sanderson, Casey, like, they're going to find the back of the net. Maybe not with the same style that Garrett did it with, but they're going to find the back of the net for sure.
The other thing, I guess, that you have going on your side at this point, is the fact that you really don't have anything to lose. You have nothing to prove. You now just have to be who you are, and that's it.
No, that's the truth. We put up with the worst we'll ever put up with going through the season. And, you know, at the midway point, everyone was kicking road apples and worried, and we never imploded. You know, we became tighter, and I think Colin Doyle said it the best, when things aren't going your way, you got to stick with the things that have worked in the past. And rather than trying to change things, we just, you know, stayed the course and stuck with it, and, you know, here we are.
Sounds like the KISS principle.
Yes. Yeah, I
keep it simple, stupid.
That's it.
Yeah. I have to say that. And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, you know, I'm not a big KISS fan, you know, but when it comes to the KISS principle, I'm a very big fan. I mean, keeping it simple, especially with what's coming up now, the playoffs, very important. Aaron?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you know, just doing the little things right around the ball is really what's important.
Making sure that you're there to set the pick, making sure that your pass is on, making sure that you're on the right spot on the floor, making sure you don't leave the bench too early. It's all those little things that will add up to be big things. And the simpler you keep it, the better off you're going to be.
How about you, Gary?
It is. It's all about little things. It's making sure you're fighting for the loose balls. You're making those absolute crisp passes. We noticed it on Saturday that there weren't as many missed passes as we've seen in weeks past. So it looks like they're all focusing in on that. Everything is magnified now. A dumb penalty, that could be the game, that could be the season. So it has to be watching what you're doing, keeping your feet moving, and even running off to make sure that your defense can come on and stop whatever offensive things are coming at you. It's complete hustle at all times.
So, guys, here we are at a point in the season where, you know, who would you like to meet at this point in the season if you're a fan and you're a Rock fan or you're a Bandits fan? I'm telling you. Whether you're a Rock fan or a Bandits fan, the next game you want to see at this time of the year, the standings being where they are, is a game between the Bandits and the Rock. And next week, on Friday, April the 18th, that is going to happen at the ACC, where the Bandits will come to visit the Toronto Rock, and this could be a pre-playoff game idea of what's going to happen in the playoffs. Baby, this is going to be a great game.
Friday. On Good Friday, it'll be a clash of the Titans.
It will.
Buffalo really has a tough one because they have a game the next night, too. and it's against Rochester, and I don't think Rochester's going to lay down just because of their rivalry.
Either way, you know full well, come on, Gary, you know full well that the Bandits aren't going to leave anything on the floor.
No, not at all, but I wonder how much they're going to have for the Rochester game the next night,
Who
too.
Who cares? They don't have to think about it.
No,
they don't
all I
care.
Have to do is win this one, but I don't think Toronto's going to I think Toronto's found the fountain of youth. They've found some new mojo. They found some new confidence, and they've been playing well the last three games, I guess it is.
Which
so,
is why I think the Bandits have to give themselves, to put it simply, an infusion of confidence, something that over the past little while may not be there. And I'm sure if you ask their fans, this game is more important than the game against Rochester.
Sure, and you know that Troy's going to have them ready. There's no two ways about that. Troy will have them fired up and ready. It's whether they sustain, and as long as they don't revert. And what Toronto's going to have to do is get into their heads a little bit so that they start taking stupid penalties and start reverting back. And then they can move on from there, because Toronto's power play is still one of the best in the league.
I agree with you, and I think the discipline that Toronto shows against the Bandits will be the telling sign of how that game will go. Because I believe at this point in the season, from what I've seen, and it's real simple, the Bandits have been disciplined, and then they've become undisciplined. The Toronto Rock, undisciplined, have become disciplined. So really, they're at a juncture in their season where the Bandits need to show, once again, that they are a disciplined team. Because I happen to think they're running into a disciplined team. I think the Rock has learned their lesson. And I believe that they have the confidence, and they believe that this game means a lot to them simply because home floor, in this case, will be an advantage. And, you know, the Rock fans and the Bandit fans, they get along really well, and I'm really happy about the relationship between the fans. But I'll tell you something. Both sides are looking to have the advantage on the talking points, right, Aaron?
Oh, most definitely. Not to overstate the importance of this game, but it's like the Daytona 500, the Indy 500, the Game 6, Game 7 of the World Series, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, the Super Bowl, and the World Curling Championships all rolled into one.
Really?
Huge.
Really?
Okay.
Why'd you put
really
the curling on?
You're not overstating it at all?
No.
I'm not going to argue. Hey, listen, if you're a lacrosse fan, you stated the truth. If you're a lacrosse,
this game is huge. So
huge.
You know, this is something huge.
Huge.
I won't tell you the whole thing, but you only need
how
the edge. You know what I mean? Like, this is one of those games where you just look at it and you think to yourself, "Dang,
baby, this is a game of all games. Like this is why you play a season. You know, during a season, there are games that you know work out into being pivotal." And baby, this is as pivotal as it gets. I won't get into your analogy with the greatest car races of ever or the greatest baseball games ever. But what I will say, your hyperbole is fine. No, I can live with your hyperbole. But I'll just simplify it by saying that the season may hang in the balance in how this game ends. Not only on the score sheet, not only in the standings, but in the minds of the fans, whom I know and understand are heavy bleeders on what happens with their teams. And the Bandits and Rock fans, this game is the game for them.
Definitely. Well, there's a few games when you get your schedule at the beginning of the year that you circle. And Buffalo is always a game that is circled here just purely because of the rivalry throughout all the seasons, and just a close proximity. But now, because there's so much riding on this game, and because these are the teams that are going to meet in the first round of the playoffs, this is a ticket to have.
Totally. Totally. But I'm doing the football show on Friday, and so that excludes me, but that's the way it goes. My love of the CFL means that I'm stuck in my little studio here talking CFL, which is cool, and I think is great. And on that note, we have another caller. And if I'm not mistaken, it might be Mike the Driver Townsend.
Hey, what's up, Frank? How you doing?
Good, good, good. We're talking lacrosse, and I know this isn't indoor football, and I know this isn't football, period. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay, man. I just called to support the show, man. Just called to support you and just listen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, thank you, sir. And by the way, I was working on an interview with a football player. What's his name? Ocho Cinco.
Oh yeah.
I was just talking on Facebook with a football guest that we've had that's playing with him right now. That's on the field with him right now, and he's thrilled to be playing with him. I just thought I'd mention that to you, Mike, because I know that would make you feel good. Yeah, one of our guests that we've had on our show is now playing alongside him, and he was just totally thrilled to have a picture taken with him.
Oh, yeah,
and
man.
Referring
Boulay
to Nicholas
is one of my
Boulay.
Friends, too, on Facebook.
Yep, and, yeah, so, you know, a big thrill. Anyway, listen, let us get back to the show here and to the lacrosse. And I totally appreciate your support for this game, and I know Aaron and Gary do as well.
Hey, no problem, man. Y'all go ahead. I'm just going to sit back and just listen.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, Mike. Thanks for calling in, man. I really appreciate that.
Mike, we appreciate
hey, no
it.
No problem, man. No problem, fellas. No problem.
All right. So that game is going to be a real barn burner, to say the least. It is going to be thrilling, and I can't wait to see what happens with that game. You know that I'll have my eyes on that, guys. I won't have my hands on it, but I'll definitely, definitely have my eyes on that one.
You'll have your YouTube on, will you, Frank?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I will. Yeah, yeah. You can bet on that, man. Yeah, for sure.
What did they say about those Casillas Chevrolet ads? It's going to be huge.
Huge. Huge, buddy.
The Lockport, that's it, Lockport Chevrolet.
And then they go from the, you know, I love this, you know, the Bandits go from the fry pan to the fire. They go from the rock, and then the next day, in Saturday, April the 19th, not only are they going into the fryer, they're going to the hometown of the fryer, which is the Rochester Nighthawks. And then the week after that,
they play them again.
Oh, good golly. But let's talk about this game after the rock. How much of an impact do you think it really matters whether they win or lose against Toronto and how this game will end up? You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't think it matters. I think even if they win against Toronto, they're going to be in tough against Rochester because to beat Toronto, they're going to have to give everything they got. They won't have much left. And either way, Rochester is going to win this game. So the only thing that's going to be determined by the Buffalo Bandits is Rochester's supremacy over them. Unless, now, is there any precedent or any belief that the Rochester Nighthawks would sit guys out for this game?
Not a chance. Not a chance. They want to go in on a roll, and they also don't want to let their closest rivalry, in which the fans are fighting in the stands, is how much of a rivalry there is, to let the Buffalo come into their house and walk all over them. There's not a chance in any betting schemes about that.
This game is what it is. Right, Aaron?
There's no chance any player is going to voluntarily sit out. None. I don't care if you want to rest me, coach. I'm going in. It's frickin' Buffalo. Mm-hmm. There's no way it's going to happen. I mean, in other leagues when the season is longer, you know, NHL, sometimes you'll see it in the NFL, but asking these guys to sit out would be like asking them to smash their own toes with a hammer. They're not going to do it voluntarily.
And the only team that wants to stick it to Buffalo more than Toronto is probably Rochester. So, no,
yeah.
I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, and just because it's Buffalo, it really doesn't.
And the 90.
No.
And the 90. Yeah. And the 90.
Yeah, if this was against a Western team, maybe. Maybe you'd see that, but no, when it's this hotly contested rivalry, and Rochester wants to keep Buffalo in his tailspin. They don't want him gaining any kind of momentum, any kind of mojo, so that they can use that in the playoffs if they happen to face each other in the next round. So, no, they want to have their thumb completely on Buffalo, keep their knee on their neck, or whatever saying you want to use.
I hear you. Okay. Our last, I think it'll be the final game for next week. It'll be On Saturday, April 19th, the Minnesota Swarm will be visited by the Colorado Mammoth. Both these
We've also got the Calgary Roughnecks. There's actually five games next weekend, Frank.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Calgary Edmonton is another big game.
No worries. Okay. The 19th.
Mammoth and Swarm first up. That's going to be an interesting matchup.
Then tell us about that matchup.
Well, Minnesota's been playing well as of late. They've been playing better. It seems like they're finally starting to click. Yeah. I mean, you know, Colorado stepped it up a little bit before Minnesota did, but this is a situation where it can get interesting really quick. You've got a couple players on Minnesota that aren't afraid to drop the gloves and go. You've got some guys on Colorado that are exactly the same way. We could see a change in the penalty minutes leader come next week, but we'll have to see. But this will be a really intense game. It'll be a really fun game to watch. Both teams have a really flowing styles, so it should be interesting. I'm anticipating that this is going to be closer than people will expect.
Well, the biggest thing, too, is Colorado is in the playoffs as we speak, but losing to Minnesota, that's not going to bode well and not going to help them at all, considering Vancouver is still mathematically able to make the playoffs. So they want to eliminate that as fast as they humanly can, and they're going to throw everything they can at Minnesota to try and do it. And Minnesota, for pride's sake, and because they're a better team than their record shows, aren't going to sit back and just, you know, let that happen. So that'll be another good game.
Absolutely. Now, will it be a good game only because of the, I guess, to put it bluntly, the equity between the two teams?
No, I think you have two teams that have had mediocre seasons or worse, who are a lot better than their records show, and are just starting to come out of their funk, even though it's the end of the season. And I think you're going to see a pretty freewheeling game, because both teams have a lot of firepower. Both teams have decent defense. Both teams have, you know, very steady goaltending. So once these factors are coming together, you're going to see a pretty good game, and they're very, very evenly matched.
And that, you know, is something that's not hard to, you know, to enjoy. I mean, it's a big day, you know. You've got quite a few games going on then.
Well, yeah, for lacrosse,
definitely.
And this is huge, because everywhere you turn, you can have three games on at the same time.
Well, in this event, on Saturday, April 5th, I'm way behind what I'm trying to say here. Hang on, guys. Sorry. I guess what I was trying to say is that
for the 19th.
You know, yeah, the 19th. I know. No, the thing I'm trying to say is that you know, these teams, there's four games going on, and I just hit the wrong button. But to make a long story short, that Saturday is such an impactful day. I mean, you know, you've got Buffalo playing Rochester, important game. Colorado playing Minnesota may not seem that important, but really it is, because, quite frankly, these are two teams that have played well at the end of the year, and Minnesota could play spoiler here against Colorado, while Buffalo tries, you know, making some inroads in Rochester. You know, it's going to be a great weekend, isn't it?
Definitely.
Definitely.
And it gets better. There's more games that are meaningful.
Keep going.
Games that have really impact on the
Calgary-Edmonton. Calgary-Edmonton.
Yep, exactly. And this is a rematch from last week, so you know there's stuff spilling over from last week. Calgary's going to want to have a bigger showing than what they had, and they're going to want to try and get into Edmonton's heads and show that they do have an opportunity, they do have a chance to knock them out to make it to the finals.
Yes, and The amazing thing about it is that the wonderful thing really of it is that that's the beauty of the regular season, you know. It gets to the point where the regular season becomes a precursor to the playoffs, and you get a chance to get a shot in, you know, at the other team's confidence. And this is a grandiose opportunity for Calgary to get a shot in at Edmonton, who are now 15-1. They've lost a game. An opportunity for them to say, hey, baby, here's a shot off your bow. How do you like it?
See, and as much as Commissioner Daniels wanted to play it down, having 8 teams out of 9 make the playoffs makes the season basically a preseason.
Yeah, and he's right.
Now that there's only 6 teams going in, now there's a lot of shuffling going on, and now you see where all the little nuances and how important everything is early on as well as late.
You can't lay back. It's a full season of hard work that gets you in the playoffs now because you cannot live on 3-game streak. You got to do her most of the season, man.
Sure, and it's going to come down to the teams that didn't make the playoffs. Really, you can look at any one bad game they had during the year, and that might have been the determining factor. So every game has a reason for being now.
Yeah, absolutely. And although, you know, you know, we can all be very honest here and say that there are some teams that I'm not saying threw in the towel before the season started, but they basically threw in the belief that this isn't their year, and they decided long before the season started that this was not going to be their year. I mean, and that doesn't mean anything, you know, bad about you know, team like Minnesota or Vancouver. You know, it doesn't say that anything bad about those teams. Is that they just felt they weren't ready. They've got their draft picks, and they're going to exercise their right, which is to pick higher up in the, you know, the draft, and hopefully get really key players, more than one. You know, at some point, that's how you build. You build through the draft. That's the same in every sport. You know, if you want to win, for some, you have to lose a lot to win tomorrow. And Vancouver has made that decision. They're one team in particular that, in my mind, has made that decision that they're going to lose this year, lose big, but they're planning on setting up their team big. And hopefully, for their sake, they're right. You know, I'm not a big fan of laying down. And am I saying that Vancouver laid down? Yeah, I am. And that's a troubling thing. You know, it's sometimes if you don't work towards winning, you can't just win out of, you can't turn it on. You know, teams that win have it bred into them. You know, it's part of the organizational plan, which is we're going to win where we can. I'm not sure that Vancouver's plan is going to work. I hope it does for their fans' sake. I'm just not sure it will. Gary?
Well, you look at a team like Minnesota, and I think the one mistake they made was trading Benesch before the season because he was their playmaker. And they may not have realized how important he was to their offense with an offense full of talent. But without him there, they've gone from a team that was scary good last year to a team that's a bottom feeder this year. Now, they do have a lot of first-round draft picks, and I'm hoping it wasn't a trade because of economics. But, you know, a couple more first-round picks never hurt, and they have a few in their pocket there. So, you know, with the right drafting, they're going to be a very, very tough team next year. Vancouver, they seem to be going on a one year make it to the finals, next year not make the playoffs scheme, and that's gone on for a couple of years. Even when they were in Washington and even San Jose before that. But, you know, they had a couple of years of the finals. They didn't make the playoffs. They went to the finals. They didn't make the playoffs. We're back in that little scheme there. So it's tough to read exactly where the Vancouver team's going.
Yeah, it is hard to read. Aaron?
I'm not a big fan of teams tossing in the towel or folding tents early just to try to get a better spot in the draft.
Am I overdefining the situation? Do you think I'm full of, you know, hoo-ah?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I don't like to see it, but I'm not going to deny that occasionally it will happen.
Is it happening here, do you think?
I'd like to say no, but the evidence kind of says yeah. You know, they're kind of...
You and I are on the same page because it is hard. It truly is hard. You know, nowadays they use this word culture in sports often, too often, really. And I think what we're talking about is basically the attitude about winning. And the attitude about winning is not something you can turn on. It has to be something that comes from the team from day one. There cannot be any interruption on the idea of winning. As soon as you interrupt the theory or the belief that you're in to win, you can't pick it up that easy. So, yeah, throwing in the towel for me, if someone can presume to suggest that that's the case, then you're in trouble. Because really all that matters in sports is winning. And whether you can or cannot is not the issue. It's whether you want or not that matters.
The other thing that you have to look at, though, is look at the team makeup. There are some teams that are set up to fail.
Set up only because the solutions aren't in there for being successful, right? The obvious.
There's partially that, but one of the perfect examples of that is the Maple Leafs.
Well,
they look great on paper. They look great on paper.
No, it's not
true. You know what I mean?
It's not true.
No, you don't think so? Okay.
No. They're like the Titanic. They look good until they hit the ice. What?
Just look for your
counterfeit
ticket, the one that says Toronto on it.
Yep. And then there's the one about the guy who left his season tickets on the dashboard, left the window open in his car, and then when he came back, not only did he see the two tickets he left, there were two more. There isn't a possibility whatsoever to compare any of these teams to the Toronto Maple Leafs, because the Toronto Maple Leafs are an abject failure based on what isn't the NLL. The NLL is about winning. When we talk about the Vancouver Stealth and we talk about them laying low, the laying low part for them is that they're not willing to trade away draft choices to make their team better. They're banking on the fact that they're going to get all their draft choices, they're going to bring them all in, and then they're going to make a move. So, in essence, they're not really giving up this. They are giving up the season, but they're not giving up their team. I can't argue with what they're doing. My only concern is it's very hard to change gears from being a losing team to a winning team. Changing those two quotients, very difficult at best. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not against a team, sitting pat with their draft choices because they don't think they'll get enough bang for their buck with their draft choices that they are holding. So, I can't argue with Vancouver. I wish the best of Vancouver, but I was just making the point that Vancouver is laying low by virtue of hoarding their draft choices and not working today, this year, towards having a winner. They've decided that this year's a wash, in my opinion. I don't know that. Nobody's called me from Vancouver and said, you know what, Frank, we've given up on this year, and really it means nothing to us. I'm just saying, there's no empirical evidence. There's only observational evidence, and that observation is that the team has not made moves that are conducive to creating a situation where the team goes from losing a lot to winning a little more.
Well, they have to be very careful if they're going to do something like that because their attendance to start with isn't very good. And if they're going to be fielding a team like that with the abject thing of trying to build in the future, they may not have a future to build to, because if they don't have any bums in the seats, they're not going to be sticking around there for very long.
But, Gary, you and I both know that the stadium they're playing in is a low-expectation stadium. Fair?
Yeah, that's fair. They also have one thing when it comes to the draft is a lot of the players are coming out of New West and in the surrounding areas. So they have their first and they're mostly to scout these guys and know exactly what they're going to be picking up.
I guess we'll leave Vancouver alone and allow them to show us what they're going to do. And I have a lot of faith in Vancouver. I happen to think that, if the team really does intend to make improvements, we could see them move to the mainland. Right now they're not on the mainland, which is why they're in a stadium that only holds about $5,000, right? 5,000, something like that?
Yeah, just over 5,000.
Yeah.
Actually,
so,
they are on the mainland. Langley's about 45 minutes to the east of Vancouver.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was
No, they're not on the island. Langley's very easy to get to.
Oh, right.
It's right beside Surrey.
But the island's where you want to be.
No. They want to be closer to downtown Vancouver. To put them in the Pacific Coliseum would be a great thing, which is right in the heart of downtown in the P&E. That would be terrific, and that would be where the Canucks used to play.
Right.
And it's very accessible from all angles. And that's where the main
And is crowd... that on the main line just like where they are right now?
Sure, and right now with SkyTrain, it's very easy to get to Langley. That's not a big deal to get all over the place. If you were on the islands, you'd have to worry about ferries and things like that. Right now, the only people that can't come are the people who are on the islands, on Victoria.
Right, or
and
they can come.
That was actually the issue they ran into in the early... Sorry, Frank. That was actually the issue they ran into in the early 2000s with the initial iteration, the Vancouver Ravens, was a lot of the fans were from the island. You did have a lot of Victoria Shamrocks fans. You did have a lot of folk like that wanted to come watch games in Vancouver. The problem is, ferry stops running at 9:30 at night. Game's not over until 10:30. So in order to actually see a Vancouver Ravens National Lacrosse League game, not only do you have to cross over, you got to make sure that you got a babysitter for the kids, the dog is boarded, you got a hotel room, everything like that. All of a sudden, it goes
unless,
to be very affordable.
Unless you start the game early enough that they can get back to the island in time.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever driven in Vancouver traffic, but it sucks.
Well, you were just there, so you know far better than I.
Yeah, but SkyTrain eliminates a lot of that. The traffic isn't that bad when you're using that, and it takes you almost to where you have to be. And I say what they need to be doing is marketing to the mainland. You know, they have to stop resting on the laurels that, you know, these teams are here and Victoria's got this and that. They need to market to the mainland, and once they can get the 5,000 in there, and then start looking for the bigger thing. And
gotcha.
If they're already getting the downtown crowds, and it becomes the in thing to do. Say they move into the Pacific Coliseum, which is empty most of the time now anyways, this could be a pretty good deal for them.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because they were playing a GM place in Vancouver before. That's the issue as well.
Okay, guys.
Yeah,
you've got
to compete with the Canucks and things like that. And back then, you probably had to compete with the Grizzlies too. But say the Pacific Coliseum, which doesn't have a bad seat in the house. Everything faces center ice in there. I used to love that arena. It's a really, you know, that would probably be the best place for them to be playing.
All right, let's take a short break, or at least go to another interview. I didn't do Mike Walker yet, did I?
Nope.
Okay, here's Mike Walker.
I'm with Mike Walker. We're here at, Choba Dolly's, so you can tell it's a little nosy in the background. Scott, it had to be a great game. This is a team that really had some question marks, has not played consistently all year. And now when it really matters, you seem to be rounding in the form, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. As time's ramping up here, we did have a bit of a slow start of the season, but we're picking it up right where we need to, and we're making a good run for playoffs here, so I'm excited for that.
What's really amazing is you lose one of the best players in the NLL.
Yeah.
Gareth Billings is one of the best players in the NLL.
Yeah.
And what happens sometimes, I'm not taking away any of your thunder,
yeah,
but a lot of times, when something like that happens, the rest of the guys go, you know what, we owe it to him to give her a good
for
goal.
For sure, yeah.
Because you know, you look in his eyes and you know how bad he feels about nothing.
Yeah.
Tell us a little about that and what motivates you to get her done.
Well, yeah, like I myself came off an ACL injury too, so I know exactly what Garrett's going through right now. But it's tough. As guys, as a team, we got to win for 13. And I thought Nick Dushenko had a great game tonight. He's replacing Garrett right now. And I grew up playing with Nick and Whitby, and I thought – he did a really great job there.
Well, it just so happens we've done two interviews.
Yep.
One of them was Nick.
Last week.
Oh,
yeah.
Before he got, right on.
I know.
And Nick was excited about waiting and hoping for an opportunity. And it actually happened for him.
Yep.
But doesn't that speak to the amount of talent there is in lacrosse?
Oh.
Even though there are nine teams in the league,
yep,
really, there's enough talent for 12 teams. So that means
100%.
Three teams were the guys.
Yeah, that don't have jobs.
They'll be able to just jump in.
100%. Lacrosse, the whole community is a very strong community. The roster changes definitely affect the amount of guys that don't have jobs right now, and like Nick's probably very thankful, and I'm very thankful we still have jobs, so it's just a matter of waiting for your opportunity to make the most of it when you can.
I guess I made the point on our show that Rose would probably be replaced, and not because he wasn't doing a good job, but I think the guys on defense have to be given a wake-up call. How do you feel about that?
I think Nick Rose is a great goalie. Anytime you change up goaltending or the defense, obviously we guys have to stay strong, but I think as a whole, our defense and our goaltending has always been a strong point of us.
But the message was sent, and you guys were challenged, because I'm sure you take it personal, because you guys are a team.
Yeah,
and
we are a team.
One of your guys ends up going to the bench.
Yeah.
You know you hope better. Right?
Yeah, sir.
It fires you up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, the motivation, not just from this goaltending switch, but also just from the fact that today was a playoff game for us to make sure we lock playoffs. So there's a lot of motivation for us to obviously ramp up at the right time here, and I feel that we did.
Now, I'm with Scott Johnson. The Rock have had a, I don't know if I want to call it a troubling season, but they've had a season of doubt. Tonight was a statement, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think the past couple of games have been a statement. We played Edmonton real close. With a few screw-ups there, we could have won that game. And then we beat Vancouver last week pretty convincingly, and I think each game we're getting better.
Isn't it nice to be in this position? Because last year you were in the other position where you were basically looked up at, and now you get the opportunity to make a little payback. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. Last year we were kind of the top dog, and everyone was gunning for us, and this year we're kind of the underdog, and that's a role that we like.
I don't think anyone knows more than you and your teammates from last year know that being in the underdog position ain't so bad.
Definitely. Definitely.
Thank
a
you,
lot.
Best of luck, my friend.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Well, you know, it is really tough when you're a player on a team. And by the way, we really do, and I mean this with sincerity, because it's hard for me to say at this point that we would like to cover more of the NHL teams. Yeah, I can go to the Rock post game, so that means I can interview these players. But we're more than willing to hook up with players from other teams over the telephone. And there's an open invitation for you, the listener, to contribute to the NLL through your team. Now, we know the Philly fans listen to this show. We also know some of the Buffalo fans listen to this show. So we know the opportunity is there. So that's all I can say about that. And you're more than welcome to be on this program. We're here to talk about the National Lacrosse League and what it means to lacrosse fans across the country and North America. And right now we're at a key point in the season where the National Lacrosse League is essentially on the cusp of the playoffs, which is in every sport the most interesting and the most exhilarating time of the year. And there's nothing we would like more than for you to share your feelings about the team that you support, believe in, and wish the best for. Unfortunately, at this point, I've got Aaron and Gary, and the two of them are Rock fans. Now, you know, we've had Rocco here, but we've left Rocco alone because he's in mourning right now. The season didn't quite work out as well as he'd hoped. And, of course, the victory by the Rock last week eliminated the Wings from the playoffs. But I want you to know, Rocco, we believe you're here in spirit, and we love you, bro, and we wish the best for your team next year, even though this year wasn't quite what you'd hoped. Aaron, it is one of those things where now we'll look at the players that have been outstanding, and we don't have as much time as we usually have because I want to throw in those interviews. Do you want to go, position by position, stat by stat, or do you want to go with basically a couple of minutes talking about who you think has done well this week? How do you want to handle it? You and Gary. Gary, you as well.
We could look at who's done well this week. Sure.
Okay, so we'll go to the stats. And we'll go a little quicker. Here we have, now, this is what I maintained earlier. Now, the statistics will actually hold true. Garrett Billings is 101 points ahead of Cody Jamison at 96. It shouldn't be hard for Cody to pass Gareth, right?
No, he should actually do it probably this weekend.
There you go. So, Gareth will lose the lead. We have on goals leaders, Dane Doby has 47 and is 47 points for the goals for the Calgary Roughnecks. Is a good and healthy enough lead ahead of Stephane LeBlanc of the Rock?
And John Grant.
Stephon LeBlanc was actually one away from scoring his 40th. That 39 goals is the most he's ever scored in a season before, so it's a new personal best for him. So he's done really well this season. He's been shooting well. He's been seeing the ball well. He's been able to find the back of the net. That's important for the Rock because with Garrett now out, they need more help in the secondary. And Stephon LeBlanc, you know, along with Casey Behrens and Josh Sanderson and Colin Doyle, those are the guys that we're going to be leaning on for scoring.
Sean Evans leads with assists at 72. Garrett Billings, now injured and out for the season, will not advance. You have Dan Dawson and Cody Jamieson of Rochester with 65 and 63 alternately. Two great players.
Yeah, it could be very interesting because I think Dawson, if he puts together a couple of good games and they're against Buffalo still, he could still overtake Sean Evans. But Evans is solid as a playmaker.
On loose balls, we have Jeff Snyder at 189, well ahead of Brody Merrill at 175. Needless to say, that's well ahead of Jordan McIntosh at 169. Jeff Snyder has been the loose ball fool, if you will. He has been outstanding for the Calgary Roughnecks.
Yeah, he's the king of it. He's a vacuum cleaner.
I'm still trying to figure out why Philadelphia got rid of him.
Well, yeah, I've been scratching my head since they got rid of him.
And you'll continue to scratch your head. You know.
Probably the same reason they got rid of the Dawsons, so you got to wonder.
Well, you know, Jeff Snyder also leads in face-off wins, which is much like, you know, it is, you know, a loose ball. And he has 287 face-off wins. For goodness sake, he has 44 more face-off wins than Bob Snyder, who's no slouch. And you know, the next up is Jeremy Thompson at 207. So Jeff Snyder has proven that he is a face-off winner in this league.
It's in any league because he's the same when he's playing MLL, too, playing field. He's just as solid winning face-offs.
Now, this is a stat that doesn't interest me that much, but we mention it only because it matters, because it's on the NLL. And as I said, for those of you that want to know what's going on in the National Lacrosse League, NLL.com. Look it up. You can watch. It'll forward you to games that you can watch. And trust me, folks, some of these games are outstanding. We've got a young fella, Mike Townsend, a great friend of mine. He's listening in. He's basically listening to the show. And he understands the difference between football on a field and football indoors. And lacrosse is indoors. And it's the same positive thing where you do have that close proximity talent that becomes clear. And, you know, loose balls is one of those things. Penalty minutes, lacrosse, it was much more important back in the day. Guys, it's becoming less important. The fights, now with those two less guys on the bench, having the knuckle sandwich guys, those guys aren't as important today as they might have been last year or a few years back.
Well, they're not even on the roster now. If they can't play, if they're all there to do is fight, they're not going to be on the roster. When you're only shooting 18 guys, you can't afford to give a spot up for that.
Well, we're going to have to catch up on the rest of the stats next week. And I want to thank you guys, as usual, for being on the program. And most of all, I want to thank you for being a part of helping me to get all those interviews that we had today. On Friday, another game will be taking place. And I look forward to your input on that game on next Wednesday. Gary Group,
thank you again.
Thank you again for the opportunity to go sit down. Your seats are awesome. Anytime you can sit behind the home team's bench, that's the where to sit. And it was awesome. I had a great time.
Oh, I'm glad. We'll do that again real soon.
I know we will. And, Aaron, it was nice screaming at you with my megaphone so that you could hear me way up in, you know, the gondola.
Always a pleasure, Frank. Oh, Shane Herbert says hi, by the way, from the Argos.
Shane Herbert?
Popped by the office today.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
He remembers you from practices.
Well, he should call me.
Well, I'll toss him your number and see if we can't get him on here. He's
Absolutely.
Going to be hitting camps with them starting the beginning of next month. So.
Yeah, that's right. All right, listen, thank you guys for tuning in. That ends this program. Of course, you've been listening to Candid Frank Live here on Blog Talk Radio. And this is, of course, the Candid Frank Live Lacrosse Talk Show, NLL edition. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. Hope to hear from you again next week. Follow us. We have a lot of fun. And you're the reason. Thanks, Michael.